John the Baptist gave his life for the cause of Jesus Christ, because he stood up for the right. With heaven just one breath away, he did not mind to die at all. Yes, he went down, but he went down standing tall. In chains of death we may be bound. The world may hang us upside down. And our end may be a bitter cup. We may be run through with a sword, but we'll keep standing for the Lord. We may go down, but we'll go down standing up. On mission fields in foreign lands, many saints have fought and died, waving the
Welcome to the Madison Gospel Center Tabernacle Weekly Podcast with your host, Pastor Walter Gore.
Ezekiel chapter 33. Those of you that were up here in the adult Sunday school class, a few of the things said at the beginning of the class goes right along with the message this morning. Ezekiel chapter 33. If you're able to stand, we would ask you to stand in honor of God's holy word. We're going to begin our reading in about verse 7. Ezekiel 33 and 7. If you're there, say
amen. Amen.
Amen. Not there, say
hold on.
That's right. Ezekiel 33 and 7. It says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." You may be seated. Now, there are times in the scripture that we see the Word of God is situation specific, and He has a message to a specific people or a specific individual. But yet, even when it is like that, folks, those are things that you and I can learn from. Matter of fact, the Scripture tells us that these things that happened to God's people were examples for you and I, that we may know to make the right decisions. And matter of fact, the Apostle Paul himself said that all the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through comfort and patience of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Amen. And this is one of those verses of Scripture, folks, that can be a little bit difficult to accept. It's one that has some teeth with it, and sometimes we look at some Scriptures and we think, man, that's just a little hard to swallow. You've heard me from time to time. I'll quote a saying that I used to hear an old preacher say from down at Harts Creek. But he'd say, every time you go to the God of Word or the Word of God, it's like going to the beehive. You're either going to get honey or you're going to get stung.
Amen.
There's times we go to the Word of God, we get blessed. There's times we go to the Word of God, we get convicted. There's times we go to the Word of God that it steps on our toes. And there are times that we go to the Word of God that it just overflows our heart.
Yeah.
But when we think about it, folks, there's things that the Word of God instructs us that we are to do. You know what? There's times I have failed to do them. There's things that we are instructed not to do. And I have done those things. And I kind of feel like sometimes, you know, as the Apostle Paul wrote over there in the book of Romans, that every time I go to do good, that evil is present. And he said, the things that I wouldn't do, I find myself doing. And the things that I would do, paraphrasing here, that I don't do those things. But nevertheless, when we look at this, and when you look at it at face value, I tell you what, it can sting a little bit. When God is telling Ezekiel here, and he's talking about that role of a watchman here, and what his duty is to warn the people. And folks, to realize that we all, as Christians, we've been given a commission to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we look here and we think about that, and I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. And this verse was also brought out in our Sunday school class, but it's over there in the book of Acts chapter 20. And he was getting ready to leave Ephesus and go back to Jerusalem. But listen to the statement that he made there. He said, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. You remember what it said over here in Ezekiel? If you fail to warn the people and the people get caught by the sword or they're taken, then their blood is going to be upon you. Now Paul says here, record this day that I'm free from the blood of all men. Now what Paul was saying there, I've been faithful to do what God has given me to do while I've spent my time here at Ephesus. Folks, how many of us today can make the statement that we've been faithful to do what God has given us to do wherever He has sent us or wherever He may have us, that we can say that we're free from the blood of all men? Now, don't get down yet. Don't get discouraged and get all distraught. There's good news out there. But as we look at this and the message that we see here in chapter 33, if you think about Ezekiel, folks, one of those prophets called by God, and for a long time he's been preaching the judgment of God upon Israel. Then he began preaching the judgment of God upon the wicked cities that would come and judge Israel through God's hand. But here in this chapter 33, he begins talking about the blessings and the restoration that God is going to have in store. So God is saying to him here, you're not only a watchman to send the warning, but you're also a watchman to proclaim the good news. So as we look at this for just a few minutes here, folks, and we look at this role of the watchman, we need to remember something. And Peter said this. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary as a roaring lion, the devil, folks, is who he said our adversary is. And as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Not only does he desire to see mankind slip into that great punishment of hell and the lake of fire, but folks, also he desires to destroy God's work. He desires to destroy God's people and take away any joy that we have or any influence that we have in the world for God. So be sober, be vigilant, folks, just like that, as Peter said there. So in biblical days, and just to give you a little background, a watchman was placed on the wall. Now, you know, a lot of these cities were cities that had great walls around them, and many times on each corner, maybe sometimes even out ahead of the city, there was a tower. But there was a watchman that was placed in this tower, and his job was to warn the people of any incoming danger. He was to warn them in time that they could make preparation, that they could shut the city up, that they could be safe in their homes, they could have the forces out there to fight the enemy if the enemy was coming. But it was his job to proclaim the enemy was coming and to let them know that what was coming. Now, I remember reading a book, or not a book, actually it was just an article in a magazine, but it was a South Carolina preacher that was talking about at one time when he served this country in the Navy, it was his duty that he had a watch on the Atlantic coast to watch for naval submarines during World War II, or enemy submarines during World War II. Now, he talked about the responsibility that he had in thinking that, listen, if I miss a submarine that's coming in, or I miss the enemy that's there, what's it going to mean to the people that are trusting in me? And folks, it's the same today as God is speaking to Ezekiel. If he failed to do what God said,
What would it mean to the people that were counting on him to bring the word?
Even though they didn't listen, even though they didn't pay any attention, and they went on about their own way, but yet God had given him this responsibility. And we know the enemy sometimes comes in a surprise attack. Folks, we've seen it in this nation. We've seen it as individuals. We see it as a congregation. But the enemy doesn't care which way that he uses or avenue that he uses to attack God's people. But just rest assured that he is going to attack. And we need to be ready. And part of our job is not only warning the unsaved, folks, about the perils of dying without God, but also to warn one another about that enemy, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, and to uplift one another. So if the watchman was on task and he was doing his job, everybody in the city knew what was going on. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, we see God here comparing Ezekiel to a watchman. Now, the job of the watchman has been entrusted to the church today. And when we think about who makes up the church, folks, it's you and I. And we may have sometimes think, well, it's the preacher's job, it's the pastor's job, or it's the deacon's job, or it's the teacher's job to tell people about Jesus. We all have that responsibility. We all need to stand and be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us and to tell people what Christ has done in our life. Now, some people say, wait a minute, preacher, I don't have a good testimony. I can't speak big words that impress people. You don't have to tell anybody anything other than what God has done for you. Folks, do you remember the day that you came to that knowledge that you were lost and you were headed for hell? Do you remember that day that you came to that knowledge that without Christ there was no hope in your life? And if you didn't get saved, listen, there was only nothing to look for but doom and destruction. And at that moment that you made that decision for Christ, the difference that he made in your life.
Amen.
And that's all we need to let people know, what Christ has done in our life and the difference that he's done for us. And when you think about that job of the attachment and what his tasks were, as I said, he was up in the tower, he was up on the wall, and he had this horn that he would blow. And the horn had a certain tone or a certain sound that would be blown when the enemy was approaching. And whenever he would blow this horn, whenever he was on duty and sound the horn, the people knew what was going on. Now, if you were in the city, think about it for just a minute. What kind of watchman would you want on the wall? Would you want somebody up there that was napping half the time? Do you want somebody up there that was half dedicated or half committed to their job? Would you want somebody up there that didn't care whether they saw the enemy or not? Or would you want somebody that was dedicated to their job, somebody that was vigilant, somebody that was looking out, and somebody ready to sound the alarm? Folks, that's what we all would want. I believe that with all my heart. We would want that type of watchman that was being vigilant, that would sound the horn. We wouldn't want somebody up there that said, well, I'm afraid if I sound the horn, it might offend somebody. Well, I'm afraid if I sound the horn, it might wake somebody up. Or if I sound the horn, it might make them feel bad. Or it might make them mad at me. So I'm just not going to sound the horn. Think about the destruction that would come upon the city.
Amen.
Folks, when we have that attitude about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, think about that impact it can have on the people that come into our lives. If we say, well, I don't want to offend them talking about Christ, and I want to tell you something. We're living in a day and time, and we're living in a nation that, believe it or not, the more you start talking about Christ, the more you're going to start offending people. There's more people offended today by Jesus Christ than they are just about anything else in this nation. I heard a fellow say many years ago, this was probably 15 years ago, he started calling us not the United States of America, but the United States of the offended. And at that time, he was talking about all the things that people got offended about. But we have seen a wave in the last few years. And folks, the devil's at the root of all of it. We need to be sounding the alarm. We're the watchman on the tower, if you will. But there's an attack on Jesus Christ, and they don't want his name spoken. They don't want scriptures anywhere. Anything that has anything to do with the Word of God, let me tell you something. You're starting to see people come out and stand against it. You know what they're doing? They're proclaiming their message. They're saying it loud and clear. They're spreading it from one end of this nation to the other. And what are we doing? Are we proclaiming the message? Are we standing up against it? And are we telling the people what Jesus has done for us? Because we have to understand something. Listen to what Peter said there. We are watching. Listen to what he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth. Listen. That you should show forth. That you should proclaim. That you should tell the story. Of what? The praises of him that have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
Folks, we're living in a world, as I said, even in our nation here in the United States of America, that there are people that don't know the one true God.
That's right.
We've got people in this nation that are looking everywhere for satisfaction. They're looking everywhere to fill that void in their life. They're looking everywhere to find that peace that can only come through that right relationship with God. Folks, when we come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we're reconciled and restored in fellowship with God, we have that peace of God and we have that peace with God that nothing else in this life can offer us.
Amen.
But yet we have people that are looking everywhere for something besides God. And a part of the reason is sometimes they don't know about God. Sometimes we look like Israel over there in Judges. You remember when we were studying Judges? They talked about there was an entire generation. Think about it for just a minute. An entire generation that knew not God. That knew nothing of God. How in the world, folks, all the way back in the book of Judges, can we say that there was a generation that didn't know God after all that God had done? How in the world can we say today, listen, there's probably a generation that's coming up that doesn't even hear about God anymore. Folks, going back to something, I think it was Brother David Cook said 2 or 3 years ago in revival. He said, I've heard people say this is the worst generation of young people that we've ever seen. He said, you know what they're really saying? Worst generation of parents we've ever seen. Think about it for just a minute. Folks, there's a breakdown anymore in the home. There's a breakdown anymore in our education system. There's a breakdown everywhere anymore when it's bringing people up to know responsibility and accountability and to teach them and that they may learn. Now, I'm not saying that it's the school system or the government system to teach our children about Jesus. They're not going to do that. And I've heard many people say, think about it for a minute. And oh, when they took prayer out of schools, that's destroyed our generations. That's destroyed our... No, it didn't. If you haven't been to a school lately, there's still prayer in schools, folks. Prayer was just taken away from the faculty and the leaders of the school. They couldn't promote it or lead it. The students still had the freedom and the ability to pray. In my opinion, and you can take it or leave it, what went wrong is when they took discipline out of the schools.
Amen.
When children learned that no more when you did wrong were you going to get paddled, but you're going to go home and play PlayStation for 3 days, they didn't care anymore. There's no more responsibility, as I said, that's been taught anymore. And it's even worse in the home. You know, when I went to school, I got in trouble with a teacher. There was a note that was sent home. My mom and dad didn't go down the next day and choose a teacher out. Now, I might not have got whooped. There were times I did when I deserved it, don't get me wrong. But when I messed up at school and I came home, it wasn't the teacher's fault, it wasn't the principal's fault, it wasn't the board's fault, it was my fault, and I answered for it.
Amen.
But we've taken that away. That has disappeared in the home anymore. It's disappeared in our families anymore, that there's any accountability or responsibility that's thought. That's how you end up with a generation that knows nothing about God. We got a message, folks, to get back on track here. We've got a message that the world needs to hear. We've got a message that the unsaved needs to hear. And we got a message, folks, as a church, as the Gospel Center Tabernacle, we've been given the responsibility to share that message with everybody that comes in here and those paths that we cross when we go out there.
Right. Yes.
Now, the truth of the matter is, every church you go to, you're not going to hear all of God's Word. There's going to be some churches you go to, you won't hear any of God's Word. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Listen, it don't take much. Go read some of your stories in the Charleston Gazette and read some of your stories about some of your local churches there in Charleston. If you look at some of the things they practice and they promote, I don't even know how they've ever even opened a Bible. But we have a responsibility to share the truth of the Word of God. We're watchmen on the tower, folks. So, preacher, what are you saying? That if I don't warn somebody and they die in their sins, their blood's on my hands. Now, let me tell you something. I've heard that preached and I've heard that taught before in some churches. I've seen preachers stand up and preach, man, and just in fire and authority and say, listen, if you don't warn them and they die in their sins, or God tells you to go witness to them and you fail to do it, their blood's on your hands and you'll never get it off. Show me that scripture. Show it to me. What we have to understand, as I said, this is a situation-specific. This is a person-specific, yet it applies to you and I in our day and time. And I believe Brother Slick probably put it better than anybody else or that you could see in here. Folks, in the day and time in which you live, we are all personally responsible for our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just like in the days of Ezekiel, folks, he proclaimed the message. Jeremiah proclaimed the message. Others proclaimed the message, and if the people didn't obey, it wasn't the messenger's fault. And if you're faithful to witness as God leads you to witness, if you're faithful to step in those doors that God opens for you, and you tell people what Jesus has done for you, let me tell you something. Their fate is on their head. It's not on yours. It's not going to be your fault that they're not saved. It's not going to be your fault they leave this world without Christ, because you've done what God has given you to do. Folks, this is the message. And that's what's sad, is you don't see this in many churches anymore. The message is sin is still sin. Judgment is still coming. God is still holy. And you're going to answer for what you do.
Amen.
I could stand up here week after week and I could smile and I could tell you how loving God is. I could tell you how gracious God is. I could tell you how merciful God is. And that all your life is a bed of roses. If you just follow God, every day of your life is going to be blessed. Every day of your life is going to be perfect. You're not going to have any troubles or trials. Hey, I'd be lying to you. Now, if you're a child of God, every day is blessed. Even in the midst of the trials. Even in the midst of the storms. And even in the midst of the fires that you have to go through in this life. If you're a child of God, every day is a blessing from God. But yet the truth of the matter is, we need to warn that hell is still real. It's still there for sinners. And Jesus is the only way. And if we don't accept Christ, we have no hope.
Amen.
Folks, He's the only hope we have. Jesus Himself said what? I'm the way. And I'm the truth. And I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How can we change that? How can we alter that to mean anything different than what Jesus said? Folks, we can't. But there's people that do. But sometimes we fail. Why? Don't want to offend somebody. Don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Now folks, I also know, don't get me wrong, we live in a day and time that some of you on your job, if you was witnessing to people and telling everybody about Jesus, it ain't going to be long, they're going to run you off. I'm telling you, I've seen the warnings given to people. But yet I believe that God is also faithful to give us the opportunities that He desires us to have, to share His Word and to share what He's done for us. You think about it for just a minute. If you were driving down the road, you saw somebody's house on fire. There's people inside. They don't know it. Well, we just drive on by and say, well, I don't want to bother. I don't want to offend them. Or if you lived on a street that the bridge was washed out and there's traffic coming down the street and you look out and see the cars coming, you know they're going to go over the embankment. Would you say, well, I better not go out there and warn them. I might upset somebody. But listen, how many times do we see in the newspaper that somebody has rescued a family out of a burning building or have woken them up and notified them the house was on fire or somebody prevented an accident and they're hailed as a hero? But yet we can make a difference in somebody's life for eternity. And it's far better than anything we can do for them in this life. Folks, we're watching. We're called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. I believe today that if we're faithful to do what God would have us to do, and we desire to be a witness for Him, He's going to have opportunities for us to be witnesses. Now, everywhere you go, I'm going to share this with you in closing. You've heard me say it many times. Heard somebody say, everywhere you go, be a witness for Jesus. And if you have to, use words. What are you saying, preacher? Sometimes our witness is our actions. Sometimes our witness is how we respond to situations. Sometimes our witness is not by what we do say, but what we refrain from saying. But we're all watching. We've been given that responsibility. And I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, listen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the message that we as a church, I as a pastor, and you as a member, have been tasked with giving to the unsaved. And folks, without Christ, there is no hope. He is our hope today.
Amen.
Not only in this life, but in that life to come.
Amen.
As we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.